By the end of the week, Hawaii Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa will be back in Washington for the inauguration of Donald Trump. What happens after the festivities, for many, seems shrouded in uncertainty. Some issues are clear. The Affordable Care Act will not stay in its present form, and Democrats and Republicans will likely not see eye to eye on foreign policy, defense spending, and perhaps much of anything else. So where does that leave Hawaii's bluer-than-blue congressional delegation? Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa joins us now in our studio. Good morning.
Thank you for having me, and let me make my apologies to your listeners. I'm suffering from what I call vaguitis. I'm just not in shape to deal with it like I used to be able to. So my apologies if you hear me cough or it sounds very strange.
Well, I think as long as you're in shape to deal with everything else, people will probably give you a buy on that one. But in a recent Washington Post interview, President-elect Trump said his goal for his replacement plan for Obamacare is, quote, insurance for everybody. He also said that his almost finished but as yet released plan features, quote, much lower deductibles and a much simpler form, though not single payer. Some have suggested it's more of a Medicare for all. The GOP is saying that whatever it proposes to replace the Affordable Care Act won't leave stranded, you know, those who gained insurance through the ACA. What does whatever come next have to include to be able to get your support?
Well, first of all, we have to understand what the process is. So you hear this term reconciliation, which is really, I think, the only way you're going to be able to get any kind of change. But reconciliation is a budgetary process, and in order for it to be used, it can only, because this is the Byrd rule in the Senate, it can only be used to affect debt ceiling, spending, and revenue taxes. Those are the only things. So if you look at the committees that have been tasked, by the 27th, by the way, to come up with the savings, $4 billion worth of savings, it's on the House side, it's Ways and Means, the taxing committee, and the Environment and Commerce. Which is Energy and Commerce, which is the committee that has health care. So what people should know is that because things that people like in the plan, which is having your child on the plan till 26, women will not pay more than men. And also the big one, pre-existing conditions, those are considered not covered under reconciliation. In other words, they are mandates to the insurance company, but not the federal government. So because of that, those should not be affected. What does that mean? That means that, and this is the problem, the shortcoming of all the GOP plans, is how do you go about paying to keep these things that everybody wants in light of what they claim to be cutting? And, you know, in other words, repeal and to reinstate. The one thing that I'm hoping that they keep their word on is that they will repeal and reinstate their plan or to create their plan almost simultaneously. I think Trump said 1 hour. And Paul Ryan said we cannot repeal without having a plan. So hopefully we will see this, but they will not be able to repeal the whole thing using reconciliation. They will only be able to repeal portions that affect government spending. And like I've always said, the real danger is Medicaid, the expanded Medicaid, which has major implications for Hawaii, as well as the fact that we have been able to extend the life of Medicare by 11 years because of the Affordable Care Act.
At this point, when we're looking at sort of piecemeal changes and dismantling, there's also the issue of, well, what does happen to a state like Hawaii that depends on Medicaid so much?
You know, I've always had this issue about what happens to Hawaii because, as people know, one of the things that I've always said is I never understood why Hawaii did not avail themselves of the exemption within the Affordable Care Act for our prepaid health.
Well, we were told that it would be embarrassing for you know, the president's home, if you will, to not comply or not be in a leadership position with that.
Well, you know, that's very unfortunate because so Hawaii gets penalized because we have the best plan in the nation. And, you know, I sat on an oversight and investigation committee hearing where we were talking about, remember the statements about $204 or $205 million dollars to maybe sign up 8,000 people? And that was the exchange. And in that discussion, it was with Mr. Tom Matsuda, who was the acting person. It was like, well, why haven't we availed ourselves of the exemption in Affordable Care Act, in Section 1560. And now they're saying, well, we're going to do this wonderful, innovative plan, which is Section 1332. But Beth Ann, our innovative plan is our prepaid. So why not having done that before? And that's one of the things that I've told them. So for Hawaii, the whole issue of the ACA's impact, yes, it has major implications on with everyone else. But the major part of it is the fact that we have a plan that works. And for some reason, we've turned our back on it and decided, okay, we're going to make these things now function. And as you know, the governor got an exemption under Section 1332, the innovative one, but it's really for small business. And that's another thing that people did not realize is that when they did the Affordable Care Act, what happened with small business is the age discrimination. People in Hawaii who are small business owners tend to be older, tend to have very loyal employees who've been with them forever. So when they get assessed the premiums, they get assessed the highest premium because of age versus the younger group. And, you know, I've always felt that what's necessary for any kind of plan to survive is the ability to risk share. And we've lost that.
Do you have in your mind any sense of how Democrats are going to function in the splintered but obviously very Republican majority? And specifically, what's your perspective on how the Hawaii congressional delegation should approach those in Congress who believe in Trump We Trust?
Well, I think that that's something that we will have to wait and see as to what exactly is the Trump White House going to do and how their plan, both his plan and for us in the House, Paul Ryan's plan. Because Paul Ryan was a budget chair for a very long time. And in addition to that, he did do Ways and Means for us. So I think that we're going to have to wait and see. But I'm hoping that we'll find some kind of common ground because they'll realize, Paul Ryan, I think more than anyone, will realize you can't have all these wonderful things that people want, but you have to have the money.
You got to pay for it.
You got to pay for it.
Okay, I want to move on and ask you about one more thing before we let you go. The Obama pivot to Asia has by necessity been more of a foot in the Middle East and one in the Pacific. Shortly after the election, President-elect Trump met with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, which seemed to telegraph Mr. Trump's intent to focus on Asia. Now, we've also watched relationships continue to change. We've seen this in the Philippines, mm-hmm. also the increased tension over Chinese military grasp of the South China Sea. And we've heard some tough talk very recently about that from Secretary of State nominee Rex Tillerson. Do you see the U.S. pivot to Asia going forward? How do you see that happening? And do you believe that Mr. Tillerson will be confirmed?
You know, I can't tell about how the Senate dynamics are working. I do believe, for example, General Mattis will be confirmed. I think that it looks like Tillerson will also be confirmed. I think Sessions may be confirmed. And this is only because of the fact that people want to, I think, give them a chance, so to speak. Sessions is difficult because he's one of them. He's a senator. And, of course, Elaine Chao for transportation, critical for Hawaii, is also going to be confirmed because she's McConnell's wife. So, you know, it's not going to be wise for anyone to not confirm her, I think. So having said that, I think the danger in all of that is Trump seems to be saying the right things. But underlying all of that, one of the greatest fears I have is I also believe that Trump seems to advocate for isolationism.
And even with Asia?
Especially with Asia. Because he's going to have to decide. Remember, the PACOM, what they call AOR, Area of Responsibility, is 55% of the Earth's surface. The three greatest economies are the United States, China, and Japan. But also bordering it is Russia, and we know he has an amazing relationship with Russia. So I'm not quite sure what he's going to do. Right now, China is a target of his. But whether China continues and North Korea continues, that's going to be a different story. And whether he turns around and says to South Korea and Japan, you take care of that, that's going to be the issue for us.
I want to thank you for coming in, especially the way you're feeling today.
Oh, thank you
very
much.
We'll talk to you when you get back to Washington.
Thank you so much. I look forward to it.
U.S. Congresswoman Colleen Hanabusa was sworn into the 114th Congress last November and represents Hawaii's 1st District, which consists of urban Honolulu.